There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Welcome to another episode of The C Word, a fan podcast dedicated to orphan black echoes. I'm Terry.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Kim.
So, Steve, what's the news? What's the news?
Well, I finally did dig out some rating information on orphan black echoes.
Uh-oh.
And found out that it is the third highest rated show on AMC Plus behind The Walking Dead.
Yeah. How about that?
Yes, very much so. So we have a recap of episode 5, Do I Know You? 30 years in the past, Kira's groundbreaking research captures the attention of Paul Darrow's, as well as the affection of Professor Eleanor Milner.
That's easy for you to say.
Yes.
Just one other piece of news. Our fourth cohort here, Sean Fangirlis, hasn't been here for a couple of weeks, and she's not here this week. She's at San Diego Comic-Con, but to save money, she decided to walk there. And so that's why she's been off the show for a few weeks. So she got there fine, and I heard from her today that they screwed up her hotel room, that the room she was in had no air conditioning. And they had everything unplugged, so they felt that they had no electricity. But they did, just for some reason, I guess the cleaning people. I don't know why they would unplug stuff. But so they had to switch rooms, and so they got set up fine. So she's out walking amongst. So, and apparently nothing, unless there's another schedule or something's been added, nothing for Orphan Black Echoes.
No.
Yeah, that's Bo and Gus. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start the episode here, and we'll get into the year 2030. Supposedly 20 years earlier, but I thought we were 2052 was the current year.
Anyway, right.
Kira is a young doctor. I think at the time she's a student. No, they call her a doctor.
Right.
Yeah, she's addressed as a doctor. She works under Dr. Eleanor Miller, the model of Lucy and Jules. So now we know where the name Eleanor comes from.
Right.
And we know where, as Simone pointed out, where the other parent from the container, the pouch of blood for Lucas, who the Miller is.
Right.
It's Dr. Eleanor Miller. So the two seem to be attracted to each other. Seem to be. The electricity between them could light up Cleveland for at least 15 minutes.
Yep.
That's my personal opinion. So, there's a lot of push and pull. The two finally get together. And you could just see every interaction they have. It's just like, okay. It was just
like
a series.
Like Cosima and...
And Delphine.
Yes.
I thought these two were a little more obvious, though. I mean, I guess I'm just not remembering clearly, but it's definitely like them. But I thought these two just had those like extra couple of seconds of lingering looks.
Right.
You know, so. And they keep hitting it off, and they finally move into their first apartment. I love the scene where they're sitting on the floor, no furniture, having Chinese food. And I'm like, I want some Chinese food.
I know. I said the same thing. I was like, oh, I could go for Chinese food right now.
Yeah. I was like, damn. So they advance in their fields. And Eleanor is working on a drug to cure Alzheimer's for her mother, because apparently her mother suffered from early onset. And Alzheimer's can be hereditary. Eleanor mentions about having kids. She keeps talking about the nursery. And Kira keeps like, you're really kind of, you know, on this kick kind of thing. But then Eleanor said, well, that's okay. I'll paint the room by myself. And says, okay. And I love the line where Kira says, you know, we have our first apartment and we're living together, and something about liking it. And Eleanor says, which? And she says, both. I thought that was kind of sweet. I like that line. And I love the casting in this. I wanted to say that in the beginning about Keeley Hawes, who plays Kira grown up. I love the casting here for Kira at MIT. I think the looks are really good, you know, facially.
Yeah.
Really, really nice. So kudos to the casting. So she finds out that her eggs are fine, but she has polyps. And so she probably wouldn't be able to carry a child to term. And so that's when Kira steps up and says she'll have the kid. And Eleanor's like, no, that was my thing. And she's like, no, I'll do it. And we get to see the little guy, who's Lucas, we learn later, but we get to see the little guy, and they play with him in the living room, and cute as a button. And Lucas is the boy who's in the picture.
Yep.
That Kira had shown Lucy. And I'm wondering, since he looks like a different amount of melatonin, is that politically correct? You got to watch what the hell you say.
Yes.
God almighty. I'm just wondering who the dad is. Who's the donor?
Yeah, I think everybody's wondering that.
Yeah, because we haven't seen him the previous four episodes. We don't see him in this episode. So, yeah, who's the father? And just to kind of go back, their first smooch after they met at a department holiday party, they're sitting, you know, having wine by the pool in those water cooler paper cups. I was like, well, maybe that fits box wine. I don't know. And they have their first smooch by the pool. So that was kind of neat, just the two of them sitting there talking. And they both share some personal things. Kira about moving around so much, being the daughter of a clone, and as I said, Eleanor talking about her mom's Alzheimer's. So we go to another scene where Kira comes home, and she just has this slowly rising on her face, big grin. And this is following a bioprinter presentation. I forget the term Eleanor said you had me at. I should have written that down. And Eleanor is really proud of her. And Daros is impressed with her work. He's in the room on the other side. And he even offers funding if she ever wanted to have his foundation help out. Eleanor, knows who he is. Kira doesn't.
Yeah.
I love Eleanor. Like, you got to be kidding. You know. So the coming home with the grin on her face takes place 2 years later. And it turns out that Kira was working on a printed heart, you know, a bioprinted heart, and it worked. And she is really excited. Eleanor is ecstatic. She is over the top. Absolutely over the top. And they're just, you know, they're hugging, and she's like, I'm so proud of you. I thought that was a great moment, you know. And so Kira can see that this idea of doing this bioprinting, which, you know, hadn't quite worked out, did work out. And she was just ecstatic. And that's how we kind of get caught up until
we see Daros approach Kira in hopes of funding the next step of her project, which is basically cloning people. But she's not interested. Now, Eleanor pushes her with the reasoning that they can use his money to make their project come true. And years go by, and now we're in 2050, as we see Lucas has grown up and off to college he goes. And they're both proud parents, but trying not to be too emotional.
No.
Now, of course, Eleanor loves to swim in her free time, and so we see her get up one morning and head out, and she gets lost as she forgets the way to the pool.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And she seems to just keep going around in circles because she keeps seeing this, what was it, a birthday party sign tied to a tree?
Happy birthday balloon, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she does make it home and she confesses to Kira that she has been forgetting things, and they realize that she has an early case of Alzheimer's. Her medicine doesn't work on her, and she begs Kira not to tell Lucas. Meanwhile, Kira throws herself into her work and figures how to print healthy neurons. While explaining the procedure, she mentions that she is doing it for Lucas's sake, but Eleanor is so far gone, she doesn't know who he is.
Mm.
Kira is distraught, but she goes ahead with the brain surgery on Eleanor. Thankfully, Eleanor wakes up with all her memories, and all the tests Kira runs on her are the ones she ran on Lucy. They have a happy reunion, only for it to be cruelly cut short, as Eleanor does not survive the transplant and dies the next day. That was heartbreaking.
That was hard for me to even watch, like, the first time, and I watched this twice, and I just, like, waking up to that I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, after all the work she put into it, too. Mm.
And you know what? I was scared that something like that was going to happen because you're messing with the brain, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And there's just so many things that could go wrong. And I just hope, like, I hope she didn't suffer, you know? I don't know.
Oh, probably died in her sleep, so I imagine she probably didn't. When she's doing all that, she goes to Josh, you know, she kind of walks in there, you know, like research room, I guess, and tells him we're going to do something new. And he looks at the neurons that Steve mentioned. He's like, is that brain tissue? Tells him the whole thing about we're going to be having a new project and to keep it between them and this whole nine yards.
Yeah, don't put the scanner in the schematic. And
yep. Little insurance policy. Yeah.
At least you'd think, but apparently Darrow's had other plans.
No.
Yeah. All right. So after this happens, of course, Kira, well, she's distraught. So, you know, desperate, she takes up Darrow's offer. And she will agree to print a human being on one condition, that when she's done printing it, she gets it to work, that she destroys the machine. And I really don't understand why she would think that a man would put millions and billions of dollars into developing a technology to let you destroy it.
Right.
And it's probably because she wasn't in her right frame of mind anyway when she went in there. But like, really? Because, you know, that costs a lot of money. There's just no way. You're basically talking about a corporation. That's just never going to happen. And you could tell by the look on his face when he like paused for a second. He's like, okay, this is purely about like exploration.
That was kind of echoing what he said earlier in your episode about, I believe in unfettered scientific exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of the same comment that he made to her in his office. And again, I think you said, you know, maybe she was upset, Kim, that probably made her not catch that. But I thought, well, this is kind of the same thing, at least in the same vein as what he said at that big introduction party for additive. And she should have caught that, but obviously she was upset.
Yeah, anyway, Kira is not completely oblivious, right? So she takes precaution by not sharing the details of the lens and their massive project file schematic. So apparently without this lens, the whole machine is just going to be completely worthless. So she tells Josh that the laser lens specs need to stay out of this schematic as an insurance policy. That way, Darrow's won't be able to do this again. The machine will be useless. And Josh does agree to that.
Yeah.
So they first try to print a bird. And it looks like for a second it didn't work. But then it's up and flying around. So bam, worked. And they move on to Eleanor.
I think we now know where the two birds in the, you know, quote unquote house came from.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. I was totally thinking that too. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, in the next scene, we see Kira preparing like the holding container to look like their, well, I was a little confused here. I don't know if it was their first apartment or their first house, but it was one of those. So she was preparing the place to look kind of like that, to maybe jog some memories. And Josh mentioned that he used a scan from her physical right before Kira had the baby, or right after Kira had the baby. So I thought that was interesting. I'm like, well, if that scan was right after she had the baby, like the baby in the picture was kind of sitting up. So would she remember it? Was that scan before that? I'm not sure. But I made a note of that in my head. He also reminds Kira that this isn't going to stop Eleanor from getting Alzheimer's. But Kira is thinking it gives her at least 20 years to find a way to slow it or cure it. And he does ask about Lucas, what are you going to tell Lucas? Which I think is a very valid and good question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we actually got an answer to that.
Nope.
She said, I'll figure it out.
Yeah. She basically did. And she's just like, look, a world with her in it, even if it's complicated, is better than a world without her. Which, I mean, I completely understand, the pain that she would be going through. I don't know if she thought it out completely. And Josh wants to, know if she really thinks this will be Eleanor. And then we kind of end up back where we started. The pink goo tub opens. It worked. We see Eleanor or Lucy lying on the couch like we saw in the beginning. And Kira's basically hoping that she remembers Lucas and their inside jokes. But of course, what we've seen before, that she doesn't remember anything. So that didn't go according to plan. And then we realize that we are caught up, and now that Lucy knows basically everything and how it happened. And we're back on the beach where they're sitting on the bench. And I think at first Lucy mentions that she wants to meet Lucas.
Yep.
And Kira's like, I don't think that would, I don't think that would be a good idea. It might be hard for him to understand because I never told him I was going to do this. Well, she didn't say that, but this is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So he has no idea. And it was thinking about it, it was kind of crazy. Lucas was kept in the dark for everything. Like, he didn't know Lucy was going through the stuff that she had. So that must have been a really big shock when Eleanor died. Because he didn't know all that was happening. And I was like, that's kind of sad.
Yep.
Yeah. Sad. He probably, she hadn't spoken to him. Kira said in about a month when she was sitting up in bed having Chinese again. And so she died that night overnight. So she still obviously hadn't called Lucas. So there's been this time where she hasn't spoken to him. And of course, she's telling Lucy now, well, that might not be, really cool, because now here, you want to talk to Eleanor? Well, her name's Lucy, and she sounds a little younger. Looks a little younger.
Right. So. Yeah. It's completely crazy. Total, mind blow. Lucas would probably be like, what? Oh, my God. But Lucy does mention Charlie, so she cares, then you kind of understand where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. And Lucy asks about the infrared, the UV. Tattoo. She's like, is that a barcode or? And Kira explains, we got crazy and got matching UV braille tattoos from the first line of a W.S. Merwin poem, and it says, "Let me imagine that we will come again when we want to, and it'll be spring." Which I'm like, well, that's deep.
Well, why would they get braille?
I don't know. They were wild and crazy.
Yeah,
I guess. I wanted to see Kira's arm.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me see that you got it. Kira mentions that she just didn't know how to live without her. And Lucy's like, well, I'm not Eleanor. So you mean without her, because I'm not her. Mm-hmm. Or she said, I don't know how to live without you. And Lucy's like, you mean her, because I'm not Eleanor. And, Lucy's a little upset, and with good reason, because she's like, I didn't ask for this. Do you know how alone I felt? Do you know how alone it is to not remember who you are or anything you've been through or anything you've done, to not have any of those memories whatsoever? And Kira's very upset, and she's like, I'm so sorry. I want to make things right by you. I want to take care of you, Lucy. And then Lucy mentions Jules, and Kira has absolutely no clue who that is. And she goes, the teenage version of me. And she and Kira's like, I printed you and I destroyed the machine. Like, I have no idea who you're talking about. And I'm like, oh!
I can't wait for that meeting.
That'll be interesting. Although I will say, even though we saw Lucy open it up in the first episode, I kind of got a vibe when in this episode, when the process was done and the lid, you know, the tub of Pepto-Bismol finished and the lid, I kind of got a Rocky Horror Picture Show vibe when he's creating Rocky.
Well, how about that? Well, babies, don't you panic.
All right. So anything else before we get to the feedback about this episode that we want to mention?
It was one of those heartbreaking episodes. That's
yeah,
for sure.
It really was. Yeah. It really was.
This was a deep one.
Yes, very.
Like I remember our last episode mentioned about, oh, I didn't know we were going to get so philosophical. This had just a lot of stuff in it. Let's move on, ladies and gentlemen, to our listener feedback. And
which isn't all audio feedback.
It isn't?
No.
Oh, you mean the pictures?
Yeah, Brad.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Gave us some backstory on some of the shots during the episode. And he says, the house with the happy birthday balloon attached to a tree on the campus where Eleanor is walking around in circles is Cosima's student's house.
What?
Yep. According to season one of the original series, that would be the University of Minnesota. So if this is canon, then we are on the Minnesota University campus, which is in real life the Toronto University campus.
I was blown away by that.
Yeah. And also the library in the back is the Cosima meets Delphine library.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Fred has a picture of himself at pretty much
right
the same
spot. Yep.
Yeah. Fred was our field reporter, quote unquote, unofficial, for the original C word, for the original Orphan Black. He went to, as he mentioned in one of his earlier feedbacks, he had gone to Canada and taken a lot of exterior shots of locations where they filmed Orphan Black scenes. He's done it again here. So after this episode has been posted on the Fangirl Zone and on our Facebook page, then I'm going to post pictures that Fred sent. Because it's pretty amazing. He's already posted some.
Yep.
But I was just blown away reading this. I was like, damn. I wonder if we'll ever go inside that house. You never know what kind of throwbacks they'll have.
Nope.
So let's go to see what the audio feedback friend has sent us. Fred has sent us. Let me try English one of these years and see what he has to share.
Hello, Steve, Terry, Sean, and Kim, and all listeners to the C-Word/The Fangirl Zone. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Orphan Black Echoes, Season 1, Episode 5. Great episode that gives a lot of insight, of course. We now see the older Eleanor. I find the typecasting a little bit less than between Amanda Fix and Kristen Ritter. But I think the typecasting between the young Kira, so in her 20s, in comparison to the older Kira, really great again. I have something very cool to mention here. We see Eleanor walking around campus and she lost her way. Passes a house several times where this happy birthday balloon is attached to a tree. That house is exactly the same house as Cosima's student house in season 1, episode 5 of the original series. I will post some pictures on the Facebook page. So if this is canon, this is actually the same campus as where Cosima studied and where she met Delphine. Because also in this episode of Orphan Black Echoes, we see Eleanor walk, and at a certain viewpoint, we see the library in the back. It's a building with a sign library on it. That's actually the library where Cosima and Delphine met, and then going to Leakey's lecture. And if that is canon, then this would be the University of Minnesota. So probably Minneapolis, St. Paul or something like that. Because we don't know where this series plays. Actually, it's all in reality on the campus of the Toronto University, where I walked around in October 2016 and August 2017. I've even been in that library and also standing in front of this so-called McCorkle House, because that's the name of the house that was used as Cosima's student home, as well as in this episode of Orphan Black Echoes. I think it's cool. This was always the thing I found so cool for me personally in Orphan Black, to find these things out. That's also the reason why I went to Canada to do this kind of research and to find out these kinds of things. Greetings, Fred. Or should I say Sherlock Fred?
Yeah, you are Sherlock Fred, that's for sure.
He really is.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep. Thank you for that wonderful feedback, Fred.
This guy has a keen eye. I never would have, you know, the house never would have rang a bell.
Nope.
And then that library and the shot that he showed from the episode, that never would have rang a bell to me about, oh, well, that might be the library where Cosima and Delphine met. So, excellent job, Fred.
Yep.
Damn.
And we'd like to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com, or you can visit the website www.fangirlzone.com, and our original C Word Facebook page is still alive and cranking along, thanks to Terry.
Hoo-ah!
I'm excited for next week because I want to see this confrontation. Mm. And I want to know, because clearly there was only one person who knew about that lens. So that's all I got to say. So.
Right.
Yeah. Could that person be the link? No. Well, this is the end of episode 5, so we are at halftime.
Yep. Halfway through season 1.
Ooh.
And if the back half is anywhere close to being as good as the first 5 episodes, we're going to be in for a wild ride.
Yep.
And if those ratings keep holding up, I think we're going to get a second season.
Yep.
That's some great news. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
To be right behind The Walking Dead. Holy moly.
Yep.
Yeah, because they have other shows on there. Like, isn't Snowpiercer on there? They have some other shows on there, too.
Yep.
So, like,
yep.
This is doing pretty good.
So, for this episode of the C Word on the Fangirl Zone podcast, I'm Steve.
Ah, no. Dude, you're leaving me like a dry hump. Come on, man. What the hell? And I'm Terry.
Well, I'm Kim, and I want a UB Braille tattoo.